listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Ever since COVID, what we know to be the norm is rapidly changing. In order to adapt to this, your business must adjust and transform accordingly. For pharmacies, unlocking the profession's potential to improve patient care is where this opportunity lies. Today's product-focused role of the pharmacist calls for the industry to move toward clinical services. The focus will be on prevention over treatment, and care will happen in the home or community. As accessible and trusted healthcare personnel, pharmacists can play a big role. Happier at Home harnesses this opportunity by showing the benefits of expanding your pharmacy into home care services and how this is a recipe for success. Innovation and growth will help community pharmacies to continue to exist and thrive in the future.
Hey, welcome back to Happier at Home PRN. I'm so excited to be here with Debbie Marcello, a founder of Happier at Home, as well as some champions in community pharmacy and pharmacy business overall. Sykes & Company, led by Scotty Sykes. And Bonnie is here with us as well. This is new territory for either of you. You've actually become some podcast stars out there, Scotty. So I'm excited to welcome you on Happier Home PRN.
Yeah. Honored and glad to be here. And we appreciate the opportunity. And we've been putting out videos and content for, golly, almost 13 years now. It evolved into, let's just do the podcast. And so that's kind of where we are in our journey of content.
Thank you for saying that we're stars, though. That's made me feel great.
Bonnie's the star of the show. Everybody's loves Bonnie. Bonnie's the star of the show. I'm not.
You guys are a great team. How about that?
Debbie, my brother. An interesting conversation. Maybe turn it over to you here. Happier at Home PRN really centers in the importance of expansion of our community pharmacies businesses by being able to do something else for your community that's desperately needed. We know that long-term care services are not increasing. A lot of these facilities they're at capacity. They don't have beds or anything for these people. So being at home is going to be so important. Everyone wants to stay home. Nobody wants to be moved to an assisted living facility per se, in many cases. So our community pharmacies have a very unique business opportunity, especially when we're coming out of the first and second quarters of 2024. The DIR fee apocalypse has attacked revenues. We know that there's a lot of stress. There's pharmacies that are closing across the nation that are independently owned pharmacies that are desperately needed by their communities. And having tax professionals and expertise that can drill down into how to formulate multiple businesses working together is extremely important. So this is a really important podcast today, Debbie, and I'm excited that you're leading us today.
Yeah, thank you so much. And you're right. Looking at the independent pharmacies and the multitude of problems that they're needing to deal with right now, really having that bird's eye view of what's going on in their community and with their business, we're realizing it's very, very important to drill down into each area of their business and the accounting, cash flow, budgeting, that type of thing is one of those extremely important things that, you know, your pharmacy owners, your pharmacists by large and business owners, not a lot of those business owners, I have to say, myself included in the beginning, really drill down looking at their numbers and understanding their cash flow and their tax advantages of different aspects of their business. So I thought it was really important to have Scotty and Bonnie here from Sykes and Company to talk about maybe some of the ways. I actually like to hear what some of your experiences have been with some of the independent pharmacy owners. So if you could talk a little bit about that and maybe some horror stories that you've come across, this way we could bring it to the forefront and then there won't be those people out there that say, oh no, that's fine. I'm fine. We'll be good. when, you know, it's just not having that knowledge of really what they need to look at.
Yeah. So again, it's great to be here. And, you know, accounting is the foundation of all businesses. So it starts with the foundation there with accounting. And if you don't have a solid foundation in terms of your accounting, it opens the door to many other problems. You're not going to know where you are. You're not going to know what issues you have in the pharmacy or any business. You might be overpaying for taxes. And the list would just go on and on from there. So having that sound fundamental piece is very important, especially in pharmacy. There's not a whole lot of margin for error in a pharmacy. You have to know exactly what your margins are, what your expenses are, what your bottom line is, how your cash flow moves in the pharmacy, because there's just a razor thin margin of error there. And as you know, as a lot of owners out there listening know, cash flow is pharmacy has an inherent cash flow issue to begin with. You know, you're paying that wholesaler in 10 or 15 days, but you're not getting paid from third parties for 20, 30 days. So there's just an inherent cash flow issue built into pharmacy. So you got to have that fundamental information, and it's got to be sound and tied down. And really what that is it starts with that balance sheet. So, you know, a pharmacy owner can take the 12/31/23 balance sheet and go down each line item and make sure that, you know, does that balance make sense? Is that a correct balance? You know, my bank account, it shows $300,000. Is that true number? Is there 3 or 5, 10 checks out there that are old and not relevant anymore? Duplicate checks? I mean, so it's just going down the balance sheet, making sure everything's tied down and paying attention to, of course, inventory, receivables, because those two pieces really impact revenue and cost of goods in a pharmacy. And obviously impact your margin, which is your number one key performance indicator. You know, where is my margin in my pharmacy? And accounts payable also ties into that. And of course, equity. So a lot of times we'll see equity that has just all kinds of numbers in it. It does not match the tax return. There's no reconciliation there. And what that means is that, you know, whatever your CPA has been doing in years past, it never got over to your side. And you're just working off an entirely different set of books. So you got to have these things all tied together. And it starts with that balance sheet. And once that balance sheet's tied down, then you know your profit and loss is going to be accurate. And then that's going to help you really analyze, you know, what are my weaknesses? What areas do I need to focus on? You know, how does my cash flow work in my pharmacy? So all
and
sorts
Scotty,
of
it's got to be done promptly. That's what we preach to. You know, there's a lot of good CPAs, accountants out there that can do these adjustments and things correctly. But unfortunately, a lot of what we see is it's done kind of historically, months after the fact.
Recommend it be more on a monthly basis that they're
right,
really
yeah.
doing
I mean,
the
you got to understand, right? You got to be able to see it quickly. I know with our clients, we jump in day one, you know, the first of the month. We're trying to pull these reports and like what Scotty was mentioning, especially inventory, third party. We need a perpetual system in place so that you can print a report and we know exactly to the penny what your inventory balance is. A third party reconciliation service that can also give you to the penny what is owed that's been reconciled. You know that that's the amount that's owed to you at the end of the month. And with those two big adjustments and some others, you can get a really good idea quickly of how that pharmacy is operating, the cash flow in the pharmacy. But doing it 3 and 4 months after the fact or at the end of the year, you know, that's not going to help you as a business owner. Yeah.
Right. Not going to help you with your projections and really understanding what your live or day-to-day cash flow is. But also to then, if you're only doing this on a quarterly basis or twice a year, or trying to get everything done at the end of the year to get your taxes done, that makes it so difficult. You're not going to pick up on mistakes. You're not going to be able to use that data to govern your decision-making in your business as well.
Exactly.
You mentioned equity. Are you, can you explain that a little bit more to me? Are you speaking of the actual business's equity?
Right. So on that balance sheet, you have your assets, then you have your liabilities, and then you'll have your equity. And so assets equals liabilities plus equity. And so that equity is going to be, is going to show you kind of the history of the pharmacy on the balance sheet. So if you got a lot of equity built up, you know, you've made money over the previous years. You haven't maybe withdrawn more money than you've taken in out of the pharmacy. And it kind of just keeps a balance of, you know, the history of your pharmacy. You obviously want a sound equity position in a pharmacy on a balance sheet. You know, if you're looking for financing, if you're looking for growth, if you're looking to leverage your pharmacy with new opportunities, such as like a Happier at Home franchise situation, you know, having a sound equity position on a balance sheet, when a bank looks at that, is going to give you some leverage. That, you know, you run a sound business, we can lend to you, you know, you have a good track record, if you will. So good equity position is very important, and that's why you need to have that tied down. But also, you just see so many errors in the equity section of a balance sheet. So that's important.
Yeah, so very important. So you know, I think one of the really important things too is that cash flow forecasting and really understanding if all of a sudden you're going to get a hit in 2 months coming down, and to be able to plan for something like that. Like you said, to be able to also, if you need a line of credit to plan for that type of potential loss or lack of cash flow in the future. Are you, you know, of course, this is a Happier at Home podcast. We like to tie in our home care franchise business model. And most of our franchisees are independent pharmacy owners. So are you able to talk about how there may be benefits in setting up a franchise of Happier at Home and having that tax benefit or something like that of both?
Sure. So obviously, you know, a lot of the entities we work with are flow through entities, so they flow through to your personal returns. So when you look at, when we talk about tax planning and tax mitigation, you kind of have to look on the personal level, look at W-2 income. You're looking at all the entities you may be part of that income flows through, because it's all one big piece when it comes down to what's actually the taxable income for you personally. So having multiple entities, obviously, if you have a new one, I work with a lot of startups. You know, there are lots of benefits if you understand the pharmacy industry and getting, like Scotty mentioned earlier, set up right with a good foundation. And he also means a good tax foundation. So make sure those tax returns are done correctly. Things are coded correctly for the particular startup that you're doing. And there's tax benefits to those first year startup sort of businesses that accelerated depreciation if that's needed, or can create losses that can flow through, again, like I mentioned, to your personal return and offset income, and maybe another pharmacy that you own, possibly, just depending on lots of different scenarios. Definitely could possibly decrease your W-2 income, because it's all going into one pot for that taxable income on a personal level. So you want to take advantage of that first year options. You know, we hear a lot of people, they want to save money in the beginning, and I totally get it, keep expenses low. And so they try to do the accounting, the tax work on their own. They're working on weekends trying to run payroll and all these sorts of things and set up their own entities, and they don't reach out and spend the money, you know, with healthcare attorneys when they're getting started, and with accountants that work in this space. So we get why they're doing that, but sometimes they can create more problems that have to be fixed later. So it actually ends up being more expensive to fix in future years. So I would definitely advise anyone to that's kind of in that situation to just to definitely let the experts help you, because I think it will be more beneficial and probably less costly to do it right from the beginning.
Yeah, the mistakes, but then also the planning as right. you talked about, and coding things correctly for taxes, for tax purposes or write-offs. So
there's just opportunities out there, Debbie, that within the, even the pharmacy industry, and this goes for not just startups, but, you know, established pharmacies that are out there, things for R&D, things for, you know, credits and elections that you can do. And if you're not working with someone who understands, the, again, a good CPA, a good accountant, they just may not be aware of the things, the opportunities out there for independent pharmacies.
The planning opportunities for buying and selling or starting a any business is extraordinary.
You're right.
I mean, you have some very complex and different ways of structuring a transaction that can pay huge dividends to a buyer or a seller, depending on how it's structured and the professionals you're working with. A lot of it's very technical, so you do need to work with competent professionals in the specific areas. But buying and selling is something you should spend a lot of time, or starting, spend a lot of time doing your due diligence, because, like I said, I mean, the strategies that are available in those areas can be monumental from a cash flow perspective for any business, including pharmacy.
I would venture to guess that all that your services would pay for themselves by the mistakes that you catch or avoid, and also the savings in money that for maybe tax planning or anything like that. I mean, would you think that that's an accurate statement?
We sure think so.
We've definitely seen it. I mean, we've seen it. You know, specifically, we've brought in, you know, we see, look, we work with people from one extreme to the other. I mean, people come into us and they have a pretty good set of books, you know, and we, you know, what we like to say, I mean, we're consulting. We were, yes, we do a great job with accounting, and we're real time, you know, we get all this stuff done quickly. But it's taking that information and consulting and working with tax mitigation. And that sort of thing is what we pride ourselves in and what sets us apart. But we see people coming with a good set of books. Now, we also see those that come in that it's a train wreck. I mean, we've had nightmares. We've had people bring their stuff in Excel. You know, they're not even in an accounting program. So and everything in between. So, yeah, there have definitely been scenarios where we can say, you know, we can go back and look at prior year returns and see that things were missed. We can go back and we can fix them. I mean, so what we saved a client, we can monetarily show that on, you know, on paper, just from fixing something that was missed.
Our value really comes from the sound accounting that we do, the tax planning and mitigation, but also just our knowledge of the industry, because all we do is talk to pharmacists all day, every day. Right. So we know the vendors, we know the resources, we know what moves the numbers and things like that. But I can give you an example. I mean, we had two new clients come on board with us last year, and you know, we had to amend some prior year tax returns. One of them was $130,000 tax savings. Wow. The other one's going to be about $500,000 of tax savings over several years. So, you know, this is big money. This is big, big area of opportunities out there.
So let me ask you then, for those types of situations, are you seeing that perhaps multi-unit owners have their own in-house accounting and they think, well, you know what? We're doing all our own accounting in-house, so we don't need another expert. I could see that as a potential problem.
That's we actually have a service for that. And, you know, what we do in our service for that is we work with that accountant in-house. We kind of get them up to speed on best practices for pharmacy accounting. Because obviously we have our own best practices for how to run the back office of a pharmacy. So we'll assist in that. And then we'll do really the month-end close, or help them do the month-end close. And again, you know, what they're coming to us for is, all right, here's my numbers. Tell me what it means. What's my cash flow? What are my areas of weaknesses? What do I need to work on? Who do I need to talk to? You know, that's where they're coming to us for feedback that they can't get from somebody in-house who only works with one set of books, one pharmacy.
Yeah that's so valuable.
Let me be clear on that too. And we work with a lot of pharmacies that have great bookkeepers in-house. And so, but I think the scenario works perfectly when they work with us, we kind of train them on processes, boom, 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 the end of the month hits, we grab it and we do our month end adjustments immediately. So same scenario. And so that works out or can work out, you know, perfectly. And then the consulting piece and so on. Or, you know, but I would say if you're starting fresh with a new entity, there's no need to even hire an in-house person. Some of these scenarios I'm talking about that work out great, that bookkeeper's been there forever, they sort of get the flow, they understand how to do it, and they stay, you know, up to date in real time with the information. But if you're starting fresh, there's no need for it. That can all be handled.
Outsourced.
Usually
cheaper than it is to have a bookkeeper in-house with payroll taxes, payroll benefits, CPA on top of it. You know, you can outsource all that in one package. It's usually cheaper. You got that person that's available to you 24, you know, every day, no vacations. You got somebody who's specializing in the industry. So there's a lot of value that comes from outsourcing.
Yeah, definitely. I can attest to that. So would you also outsource as their CFO?
Correct.
Yes. Yep. Okay. All right. Very good. Well, this is all very interesting and so, so important. And one of the things that I think is really important, both with owning a Happier at Home company and being an independent pharmacy owner, is upon your startup, thinking about your exit. You know, what's your as a registered nurse, talking about when someone comes in the hospital, we're starting to plan for their discharge. Mm-hmm. So it's is that the type of thing that you're able to work with owners to understand how to keep their books, how to continue to show building up that equity in their business so that when they're ready to exit, it's a seamless process?
That's a great point, Debbie. I mean, someone made a very similar comment. I don't even remember where it was a few years ago, and it stuck with me, similar to what you just said. I mean, the day you buy is the day, or open is the day you start to plan, because some people want to work till they're, you know, 95 years old and die at the bench. That's what they want to do. And they know that's their plan. And then others want to, you know, build that business up and get out of there and lay on a beach for the rest of their life somewhere, you know. And so it's nice. We tell our clients all the time, we need to know kind of what your plan is. What is it that you're wanting to do? Because that does drive sort of the whole scope of the growth of the pharmacy and the plan and what you're going to do and the tax scenarios and you know, how you do your retirement savings and all sorts of things. So it's a really good point.
Right.
Sure. So we definitely keep that in mind as we're consulting with our clients. Their plans for the future and what it is that they want to do.
And if you have good solid numbers and you understand exactly how your pharmacy works from a cash flow perspective, you know, if your plans change, you can adapt just like that. I mean, you can say, all right, strategies change. Let's take this approach. And so you're real flexible in terms of that. When you have good solid numbers and a foundation, you can really adapt and evolve. So you have some owners who say, I've actually got a group of four stores and he's like, I'm ready to get out. I'm ready to get out. A year later, I'm looking at three new pharmacies he wants to purchase. So just like that, I mean, his mindset changed and for whatever reason. And we're looking at three new stores and we're doing all the planning around that. And we've been able to adapt just like that. He went from, we're advising them on selling the pharmacy. Now we're advising them on how to purchase different pharmacies. So it just turns on a dime like that. When you have good numbers, we can do that.
Yeah. They tell you, if you are a lot of these workshops and stuff that we've attended, you know, a lot of the banks will tell people that they need to plan at least 3 to 4 years out if they're planning to sell to get everything in order. But I think if you have good numbers like we're talking about here, tied in, like, you know, each month, you wouldn't need that much time because
Right.
That's kind of what they're getting at, is that it takes a probably an average pharmacy that doesn't have that. It takes them that amount of time to get everything together and kind of where it needs to be. But if you have it already going like it should be, it's not as big of an issue.
Right. Just make sure all those points that are going to add to your evaluation mm-hmm. are addressed all right. the time.
Because you know, we still see, it's a lot more rare than it used to be, but we still see people that don't have perpetual inventories. And so they're just guessing what's mm-hmm. on the shelf at the end of the month. Then, or they did a physical count in January. And so whatever gross profit that was in January, you just kind of have to keep, if that was 22%, we're just using 22% to move forward because it's your best guess. We still have people that guess at third-party receivables because they're not keeping those reconciled. So if you're trying to sell a pharmacy and that's the kind of thing, the way you've been keeping track of things, that's where the time comes and that's where it really gets difficult because you do have to firm up those numbers. Right. And you could have been doing that for years.
That's
you
a good
really
point.
Don't know if those numbers are even close to being correct. If something's off 100, if your inventory is off 50,000, 100,000, that's straight to the bottom line. So mm-hmm. for an
yeah,
adjustment.
And when you're ready to sell, of course, your records are going to be scrutinized.
Absolutely.
They're going to be looking back. So being able to get those processes that you know are needed, and maybe our pharmacy owners aren't sure what every part of that includes, you know, which processes may need to be added in. And honestly, just having the processes established for your company adds to the valuation. You know, that means
Absolutely.
That if something happens to me or the pharmacy owner, I'm already planning for my succession plan, and that doesn't, the operation of my pharmacy doesn't just depend on me, you know, so that is a really important thing to understand and to plan for. And it's all, you know, I hate to say it, you start looking at your exit plan. And even if you want to stay in your business for years and years into retirement, what would normally be retirement, it's a really important thing to at least have those solid processes and numbers for your business mm-hmm. as well. So all really, really great stuff. Todd, I just want to know if you have any questions before we wrap up, any thoughts or anything like that.
I just know that there's a benefit to having an accounting team who is infused in a specific business. If I had an accountant that was all about leveling up a publishing network or understanding how to continue to build new businesses or new divisions, it would be quite an advantage to me rather than a standard accountant. Not saying that they're not effective, I'm sure that they are. Right. But Sykes and Company has been inside pharmacy for so many years. They know things that are very, very specific to running a pharmacy operation versus an accounting firm that really doesn't understand the cash flow. Like Scotty said in opening today's episode, that cash flow situation between the wholesaler, the PBM, reimbursements, there's a lot of stress there. And there's a lot of sometimes mystery of there. And having an accounting team that really knows how to navigate that, I think is very important. And then also expanding your business, adding on other businesses that are going to amplify your presence in your community, as well as generating new profits and new revenues. I think that's so important, especially this day and age, as we're shifting. Pharmacy, community pharmacy, independent community pharmacy is absolutely not the same that it was when Sykes absolutely. First started. And they know it. We know it. Everyone knows it. So get in line with thinking, how do I give additional services to my community? How do I grow my business as a community pharmacy owner? And most importantly, how am I managing the entire revenue cycle and my taxes and accounting, and which is where Sykes and Company comes in. So excited that you guys had this conversation today.
Yeah,
it was great to be here.
Absolutely.
It was great and very interesting. I could keep talking and talking, but let's make it another time.
We love it when people think that accountants are interested in fun.
Yeah.
We don't hear that a
Amen.
Lot.
Amen. I just value guys so much because I don't enjoy it. So I would prefer letting the professionals.
I always tell people, well, I don't fill scripts. I'd kill somebody. So I don't expect you to do the back office.
We stay on this side of the bench and you stay on that side of the bench.
Yep. That's what I think. Building a business, any entrepreneur just needs to have their professionals in their corner and not try to be a jack of all trades. So you guys certainly would fit that bill. So I appreciate you being on with us today. And thanks for doing everything you do for us and for all of our community pharmacy owners.
Thank you, Debbie. Thank you, Todd.
Having a good time doing it.
Yeah. For those listeners that are in, and if you're driving, walking, don't worry about it. We'll have links in the show notes, but go to Sykes. That's Sykes-CPA.com. Once again, that's Sykes-CPA.com. And to start your new Happier at Home franchise, take a look at happieratomefranchise.com. Once again, that's happieratomefranchise.com. And you have been listening to Happier at Home PRN, part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network. And Debbie, it is always a pleasure talking with you.
It definitely is. Thank you so much, Patrick.